This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And today, we're going to try to answer a few questions about, well, what's out there? I mean, what's out there in outer space? Are there alien civilizations? If so, what would it be like to make contact with one of them? With us today is a professor of astrophysics, Professor Adam Frank. He's a professor at the University of Rochester. Also, he's a commentator on NPR All Things Considered, and he was also a science consultant for Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange, and he's the author of an exciting new book called The Light of the Stars, okay, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth. So today we're going to talk not just about extrasolar planets, but civilizations that may or may not thrive or fall on some of these extrasolar planets in outer space. And also let me say you can go to my website to find out more about Science Fantastic. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And on Facebook, we have over 3 million fans on Facebook, over 600,000 fans on Twitter, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers that are mentioned in the website. For example, my latest New York Times bestseller is The Future of Humanity, talking about terraforming Mars. What happens if one day we build the first starship to the nearby stars? And what happens even beyond that? Is it possible that one day we may actually journey to the stars? And my previous bestseller, The Future of the Mind, talks about how physics is gradually unraveling many of the secrets of the human brain. Did you know that things that were once totally science fiction, like telepathy, telekinesis, recording thoughts, recording dreams, things that were once considered preposterous, we actually do in the laboratory. In fact, I visited for the Discovery Channel many of the laboratories where this research is being done, connecting the human mind to a computer. Well, once again, today we're going to talk about what's out there in outer space. We're not going to talk about little green men. We're going to talk to an astrophysicist, Professor Adam Frank, professor of astrophysics at the University of Rochester, author of a new book, The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth. Well, Adam, first question for you that we always ask our guests is, how did you as a youth first get interested in science? What set you off on this great journey?
Well, remarkably, it was my father's science fiction, pulp science fiction books. He, as a five-year-old, I remember, like, you know, wandering around in his library and pulling out those, you know, those old amazing science magazines. And on the covers, they had these great pictures or paintings of guys bouncing around on the moon or rocket ships, you know, blasting off of alien planets. And that was it. I was 5 years old, and that got me started. And I haven't, you know, the passion has never cooled since then.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into what's happening in outer space and in the laboratories. First of all, let's talk about Kepler, a satellite that has forced astronomers to rewrite every high school textbook that is taught in the United States and the world. First of all, 4,000 planets have now been identified orbiting other stars. First of all, tell us how we do it. How do we know the existence of these 4,000 planets, and do any of them resemble the planet Earth?
Well, it's really amazing how rapidly this progress has been made. You know, when I started as a young astronomer, we didn't know whether there were any planets anywhere. And in fact, that question goes back 3,000 years to the Greeks. And in just the last 20 years or so, we've discovered that pretty much what we can extrapolate from that data is that every star in the sky has planets going around it. And with Kepler, what we do is we look for that when the planet passes in front of the star, there's a small diminution. The light from the star gets blocked a little bit. It's a little like eclipse. We call it a transit. And during that moment, you know, we can get enough characteristics of the planet to know that it's there, to know its size, to know something about its orbit. So it's, you know, Kepler allowed us. There's other ways to find planets, but Kepler allowed us to do planet hunting wholesale, or, you know, rather than retail, which was the way of doing it beforehand. So basically, it was through that transit, seeing the transits of planets in front of their stars, that we were able to see many, many, as you said, thousands of planets. And from that, we're now able to extrapolate the fact that pretty much every star, almost every star in the sky, we believe, has planets orbiting it.
So let's do a census of the Milky Way galaxy. Assuming that there are roughly 100 billion or so stars in the Milky Way galaxy, are you telling me that there could be 100 billion planets at a minimum that exist in our own backyard, the Milky Way galaxy? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. That pretty much what we found, other than the most massive stars, which are pretty rare, the extrapolating from the Kepler data, we can say that almost all the stars in the galaxy have at least one. And what we've also found, you asked the question about Earth, we found that one out of every five of those stars has a planet that's in the right place, what we call the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone. It's in the right place for life to form, meaning that liquid water could exist on its surface.
So, in other words, you're talking about billions, billions of planets out there that resemble the Earth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, at least are in the right place. You know, when we talk about, it doesn't necessarily have to resemble the Earth in terms of size, etc. What we are really interested in is the ability to have liquid water on its surface. That's what we think about. This goes back all the way to the early 1960s, people thinking about what they call the Goldilocks zone. And yes, billions and billions of planets are in the right place, are Earth-like enough in terms of this question of liquid water on the surface, that, yes, that's the kind of planet where we think life has the possibility of starting.
Now, the Kepler satellite, unfortunately, right now is crippled. However, the TESS satellite is up there, and that may even give us even more Earth-like planets being discovered in space, right?
Absolutely. The TESS is sort of the next step after Kepler in terms of what it's going to be looking for. It's looking at a larger portion of the sky. It's going to be looking for specifically a little bit more for Earth-like bodies, Earth-like planets, because it's going to be looking at the brighter stars in the sky, which means sort of, you know, the most stars, remarkably, most stars in the sky are not like the sun. The sun is not an average star. Most are much smaller than the sun. But what TESS is going to be looking at is much more sun-like stars, where we're going to have a better chance of finding Earth-like planets around them. So this is just the beginning. We are set over the next, people have to understand, over the next 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, we are going to be staring at these all these planets we've discovered in detail, with the ability, perhaps, to see the characteristics of life through seeing their atmosphere.
Now, the Webb Space Telescope, the replacement for the Hubble Space Telescope, is going to go up into outer space. And some people hope that it might give us pictures of some of these planets and perhaps a glimpse into their atmospheres. Could you elaborate?
Yes, the most important transition that's happened, and this is a thing I really want people to understand, is that, you know, we are really in a fundamentally new era in thinking about life and the universe. Beforehand, you know, we had radio telescopes that we pointed at planets or at stars and hoped maybe someone was sending us a signal. But now, because we've discovered all these planets and we have the ability to stare at these planets over and over again, you know, when every time we turn the telescope in that direction, what we have the chance of doing is actually catching, as I said, you know, transit is when the planet passes in front of the star. And there's a moment.
Okay, Adam, we're going to have to take a short commercial break, but after that, okay, we're going to get right to you, and we're going to talk about civilizations, extraterrestrial civilizations out there. In other words, aliens in outer space. So once once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And give us a call if you want to get on air. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we have with us a professor of astrophysics, Professor Adam Frank of the University of Rochester, author of a new book, The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds, and the Fate of the Earth. So today, we're just not going to talk about planets in outer space. We're going to talk about potential civilizations out there, some of which may be even more advanced than our civilization. Well, before the break, we were talking about the fact that we had the Kepler satellite giving us gorgeous information about 4,000 planets, many of them the size of Jupiter orbiting other stars, a new satellite called TESS, which will give us an even better look at Earth-sized planets, and a new telescope, an infrared telescope, the replacement for the Hubble, which is going to go up into outer space, which may eventually even give us photographs of some of these planets. So with all this information coming pouring in, people are now reexamining all the old assumptions that we made back in the 1950s, including the Drake equation. So tell us a little bit about the Drake equation.
Well, the Drake equation was basically a way of answering the question, how many civilizations are there out there now? And the brilliance of what Drake did is he broke that question up into seven different individual factors, each of one of which is a problem you could study. Things like how many planets there are around each star, whether or not you get life around any of those planets, on any of those planets, etc.
Yes, and what number did he come up with? I mean, that's the key question, right? And also Carl Sagan, he redid the Drake equation. He came up with his numbers, too. So how many alien civilizations are there in our own backyard, the Milky Way galaxy?
Well, the problem is, you know, those factors, up until recently, most of those factors you were just guessing at, and so either you were an optimist or a pessimist about it, and so there really was no hard limit. Recently, my colleague and I did use all that Kepler data, and what we were able to do was get the first empirical limit on the probability for civilizations out there, and what we found was that unless the probability per planet was less than 1 in 10 billion trillion, then we were not the first time a civilization has occurred. So that's the only truly scientific thing you can say. But what it says is that unless the universe is really biased against it, unless the laws of physics and chemistry are really biased against it, then we're not the first time there's been a civilization.
Now, I understand that back in the 50s, when people did the calculation, they came up with numbers like in the tens of thousands. Carl Sagan then redid the calculation and came up with perhaps millions of civilizations, in which case some of them would be rather close to us. But other people since then have reduced the numbers considerably. So tell us a little about the back and forth and why there is so much uncertainty with regards to the Drake equation.
Well, the problem is that a lot of that, well, here's the interesting thing. So when Drake wrote down his equation, there's seven factors in it. We only knew one, which was the number of stars in the Milky Way. But now we've nailed two more of them, the number of planets in the habitable zone and the fraction of stars with planets. But all the other terms, like the fraction of planets that develop life, we just don't have any good science right now to constrain that. So that, or one of the other terms is the fraction of intelligent planet life that becomes intelligence. So that requires knowing something about evolution, and we just don't have the guide, the physics and chemistry and biology guide to answer that question for other worlds. So that's why there's so much uncertainty about the actual number.
Okay, well, let's do some numbers. First of all, we have 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And the Hubble Space Telescope, there are about 100 billion galaxies that we can see in the visible universe. So the total number we get is 100 billion times 100 billion, which is an astronomical number. However, other people say that the probability of life getting off the ground, intelligent life, is so tiny that perhaps the number could be zero. So what are your thoughts about the optimistic and the pessimists who use the Drake equation to put forth their philosophy?
Well, that's what we did in that paper with Woody Sullivan. What we showed is that unless those probabilities all work out to be less than 1 in 10 billion trillion for us to be the only one, then it's happened before. What we were basically showing was that even if you look at the literature, the people have argued about it, even the most pessimist of pessimists pretty much was an optimist based on what we now know about how many planets there are. So we showed that unless nature was so biased against civilizations, that the number was the per planet probability was 1 in 10 billion trillion, then as long as it was anywhere above that, life and civilization has happened before. So I think one thing we can see is that you have to be a really, really serious pessimist now, a hyper-pessimist, to think that there's never been a civilization before in cosmic history.
Okay, well, there are a lot of party poopers out there. One set of pessimists say that you need a large moon to stabilize the Earth's orbit, otherwise the Earth would tumble, and most planets do not have large moons, and so they will tumble, and therefore they will not have any life on them. Other people say that the dinosaurs were around for 200 million years. They never became intelligent. Life's been on the Earth for 3.5 billion years, not a single life form became intelligent until a blink of an eye, and here we are, you and me, talking about these things. So some people say that when you reanalyze the terms in the Drake equation, the more we learn, the more we learn that life is really quite precious and extremely difficult to get off the ground. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, the problem, again, is that all of those kinds of arguments sort of rely on extrapolating what has happened here into the universe. And I just don't think, you know, that the universe has had so many opportunities in terms of planets to run these experiments over and over again. I think that the universe is going to be much more fecund than those pessimists give the universe credit for. Really, you know, again, we have 10 billion trillion habitable zone planets in the universe. That's a lot of experiments for the nature to run.
Well, recently I've heard some astrophysicists say that microbial life could indeed be rather common throughout the universe for precisely those reasons that you mentioned. But how many of these microbes will become intelligent? And that's where they say that that's a limiting factor. What are your thoughts?
Well, there is, yes, there's this thing called the hard step model where people say, like, look, it's easy to get microbes, but in order to get all the way up to a civilization, you know, there has to be these very particular things like the evolution of oxygen creating photosynthesis, for example, that are very hard and very rare, and there's a number of these steps. But if you actually do the math, you can actually work through what those pessimist math, and you still end up with potentially trillions of worlds out there across the universe, not just the galaxy, but the universe that have had a civilization. Now, what we don't know is how long they last, right? It could be that every civilization only lasts 200 years, and so, you know, no one's around now because no one lasts very long.
That's a comforting thought, isn't it? Well... Okay, then we go to the Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi, Nobel Prize winner, one of the founders of atomic physics, asked the embarrassing question, well, if life is so abundant throughout the universe, then where are they? I mean, why don't they visit us? Why don't they land on the White House lawn, for God's sake, and announce their existence? So what are your thoughts about the question, where are they?
Right. That is a great question. And there's two pieces. People sort of do two things with this. One is they say, look, we've never heard anything from anybody. And that part I don't agree with because we really haven't looked very much. Like SETI, it's not like everybody's out there doing SETI all the time. There's never been a well-funded SETI project. You know, so we barely looked. Like if the ocean is what we're searching, basically right now we've looked for a thimble full of water. So in that respect, I don't think the Fermi paradox is a paradox. But you can work out the math about colonization. If there was just one civilization that started colonizing the galaxy, yeah, they should have swept by now. So that is more of a problem. But here's the question. What if they landed here a billion years ago, and they only lasted a million years as a civilization, right? Every civilization is going to have a finite lifetime. Would we even know that they, you know, that they were here? So that is also a potential solution to it. It depends on when they came.
Well, what are your thoughts? You know, we see science fiction movies all the time. We're bombarded with all this information. What are your thoughts privately? Is it because starships are too difficult to build? Is it because maybe we're not interesting and therefore they don't visit us? Well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, I'll ask you a simple question. Well, if they're out there, then how come they don't visit us? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on the air, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to get on the air, give us a call. You'll get a recording. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. And once again with us today is Professor Adam Frank, astrophysicist at the University of Rochester, commentator for National Public Radio, and author of a new book. book, The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds, and the Faith of the Earth. Well, privately, if you remove your astrophysicist hat and put on your human hat, when you watch the movies and you see all these aliens come at you every summertime, then the question is, well, what are your personal thoughts about why they don't visit us?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I love science fiction. I try and, you know, watch almost everything. I know you're really great about, you know, including great science fiction ideas as a springboard for in your own work. And that's something, you know, I think about a lot in this work. And if I had to guess, I mean, when I think about it, first of all, I don't think we're that interesting, right? I'd like to believe that the galaxy may be teeming with civilizations, and, you know, we're just not a very interesting place to visit. So that's why we're not constantly being buzzed by. So that's my personal hope. I also think, though, that, you know, it may be, even though putting a little bit of my science fiction hat on, I think it may be that interstellar travel may be very, very difficult, both very expensive and very difficult. And so we kind of, you know, we love the idea of warp drives and everything, but maybe there's no such thing as a warp drive. You know, we'd like to believe it, but, you know, maybe it just travel between the stars takes a long, you know, if you don't have a warp drive, it's going to take you tens, hundreds, maybe thousands of years to get between one star and another. And maybe that's just so difficult that nobody wants to do it. But finally, we might add, maybe everybody becomes silicon. You know, another possibility is that everyone, it's robots, really, that is the next phase. And robots may have a very different set of interests about the universe than biological beings do.
Well, another possibility is, mentioned in the movie 2001, where there's a probe on the moon left over from a passing galactic civilization. In principle, these probes are self-replicating, like a virus. They land on the moon, make copies of themselves, and launch off to other planets, like in the movie. And perhaps that's the way that a civilization can colonize the entire galaxy in a few hundred thousand years, at sub-light speed. So what are your thoughts about, like a virus, a self-replicating robot that could make copies of itself, simply seeding the galaxy, sending information back to the home planet? And that would be the cheapest way to explore the galaxy without having Captain Kirk go from star system to star system, which is very inefficient.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a number of science fiction ideas that sort of have that idea that a civilization either, you know, completely stops being biological and then just becomes sort of interstellar traveling self-replicating robots, or, right, they stay at home and they use their robot to be. The problem with that is that you need a very long-lived civilization for that to be. Like, if you're going to stay at home and you're just going to send robots off, then basically, you know, you need to be around for hundreds of thousands or millions of years in order for that to be a good way to explore the universe. But I actually think that it is very possible that the era of being biological may be relatively short, that most civilizations, perhaps after a million years or so, basically give up on being biological, or they invent artificial intelligence, which then takes over. But those are, I think, I can see those as being real possibilities.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe one day we'll simply merge with our creations.
Right,
okay, let's take another short commercial break. Right. Let's take another short commercial break. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Adam Frank. The book is The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe you can have your question heard on national radio. Give us a call.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Adam Frank, professor of astrophysics at the University of Rochester, author of a new book, The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth. Well, in your book, you also mentioned the Kardashev scale of advanced civilizations. So give us a quick summary of at least one attempt to catalog civilizations that may be thousands of years more advanced than ours.
Yeah, so Kardashev was a Russian physicist, sort of Carl Sagan's Russian analog. And what happened with that, what he proposed was that civilizations would naturally go through three stages of advancement, which he scaled by how much energy they use. And the first, the Kardashev type 1 planet or civilization would be a civilization that used all the energy, most of that means sunlight, falling on their planet. A type 2 civilization would be able to harvest all the energy coming from their star. So they would build like a giant, what we call a Dyson sphere around their entire star and capture all of its energy. And then a type 3 civilization would be one that could capture all the energy coming from all the billions of stars in the galaxy. So they would be like gods to us. I mean, actually type 2 would be like gods to us as well. So that was the basic idea of the Kardashev scale.
Okay, now we've looked for Kardashev type 2 planet stars. They would emit infrared radiation, and we've scanned the heavens looking for the signature of a type 2 civilization, and we find none. However, we were able to get a lower limit, so at least we can put numbers and boundaries on the probability of finding it. But isn't that rather kind of pessimistic? That is, we look for these advanced civilizations. It's very hard to disguise yourself because if you create heat, heat will be seen throughout the universe. So isn't it rather pessimistic that we've looked for them, but we haven't found any? Or maybe we haven't looked hard enough.
Well, it also assumes that this, it assumes that Kardashev's idea was correct, right? That is the way that it progressed. Like one way, so in my papers and in the book, I sort of point out a big flaw in the Kardashev type one idea, which was solely based on energy, and it forgets to acknowledge that there, your civilization is growing up on a planet with a biosphere, and you can't just, bring a biosphere to heal. You can't just use as much energy as you want and not expect something to happen. That's the great lesson of climate change and the Anthropocene. So as I like to call it, the Kardashev type one is a kind of planetary brutalism, because it sort of thinks that, you can just, you can turn your planet into something like Trantor, the homeworld of the Foundation series empire, where, the planet is underneath a giant city that, goes 300 levels. So I think, there may be ways in which the Kardashev scale fails to take into account what you have to do to progress through these levels. Certainly for a type one, it missed what you have to do to progress through those levels. So maybe that's a way that the basic idea was right, but there may be subtleties that need to be considered.
Well, one possible amendment to the Kardashev scale is looking at information. That's what Carl Sagan said. Instead of simply populating more and more energy factories, which will emit heat and eventually heat up your planet by the second law of thermodynamics,
right,
you use computers. And computers can do things much more efficiently, so you can have a gigantic galactic civilization without consuming so much energy, because you have microchips and miniaturization of this. So what are your thoughts about getting around the problem of thermodynamics by using information?
Well, I certainly think on a planetary scale, when a civilization is young and you haven't invented, miraculous technologies or technologies that seem miraculous to us, you're going to be stuck with thermodynamics, and that's what a lot of my research has been. But as you point out, as we climb the technological advancement, it may be the idea that we're going to be directly using energy, like we're getting, Newton's laws to move ourselves around or to build the civilization, the working parts of our civilization. That may be, outdated. And as we talked about before, it may be that, silicon or a machine, information processing machines become really what we're thinking about when we think about civilization. So yes, it's a very 1950s idea that the advanced civilizations are giant rocket ships propagating from one place to the other using chemical propellants or whatever. So I think
Let's take another short commercial break. And once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And the book is called The Light of the Stars.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Adam Frank, Professor of Astrophysics at the University of Rochester, author of a new book, The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth. And by the way, if you want to learn more about space travel, you may want to get a copy of my latest book, a New York Times bestseller, The Future of Humanity, which came out just a few months ago. And it talks about rocket ships. It talks about terraforming Mars, the possibility of leaving the solar system, and maybe one day reaching the stars. My colleague, Stephen Hawking, who passed away recently, advocated building the first starship. The first starship to reach Alpha Centauri, perhaps in 20 years, at a cost of a few $100 million. So find out what all the excitement is about, and go to my website for more information, mkaku.org, mkaku.org is the website. Now, also, we get a lot of emails. Quite a few of you have been, well, some of you have been abducted by alien flying saucers, and you believe, therefore, that aliens exist because you've met them. Well, I have a word of advice. The next time you are kidnapped or abducted by an alien flying saucer, for God's sake, steal something. I don't care what you steal. An alien hammer, an alien chip, an alien paperclip, anything, so you have bragging rights afterwards, and it's not your word against the snickering public. Steal something. There's no law against stealing from an extraterrestrial civilization. No law whatsoever. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about the Kardashev scale, but you have your own scale. It's class 1 through 5. So explain to us your classification of planets.
Well, the thing we were interested in this paper, which is also part of the book, was what happens, what is a civilization that has reached sustainability look like, right? So this is the great challenge for our civilization right now. How do we build a sustainable form of human civilization that doesn't push the planet off into crazy climate states that make it hard for a civilization to exist? So what we did is we looked at all the planets we know about, and we tried to extrapolate from that, or at least, you know, articulate that what a planet with a long-term, and we're talking millions of years, long civilization, what would that have to look like? Because, as we said, the Kardashev scale is kind of brutal. It just thinks you can do anything you want with if you have enough energy, but we know that's not true for biosphere. So class 1 was a planet with no atmosphere. Class 2 was a planet like Mars that has an atmosphere but no life. Class 3 was like the early Earth, when you had life, but it hadn't really kind of taken over. Class 4 was Earth before us. A vibrant biosphere where the biosphere really dominates the way the planet works. And then class 5 would be a planet with a long-term energy-intensive civilization, and somehow the biosphere and the civilization have come into some kind of equilibrium with each other.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought, well, that's nice, but class 5 is, which is going to be most interesting, doesn't give you a blueprint for the future. The Kardashev scale actually takes you out a few hundred thousand years. We can debate whether or not it's brutal, but your classification, I think, needs more detail about what a class 5 planet is. Could you elaborate?
Well, yes, I think that's absolutely true. What we were first proposing, I mean, the main idea of that paper, and now we're working on other papers about this, was the idea that a planet with a long-term civilization on it, energy-intensive civilization, would have specific characteristics. And that's what we should be shooting for. So first, you identify the fact that there's going to be certain things that are different about a planet with a long-term civilization on it than a planet without it. And then you can begin to articulate what those characteristics are. For example, in the paper, we suggested that there would be more dissipation, more power, more entropy being generated on a planet with a long-term civilization than one without. Because you can actually see the ramp up. If you look at classes 1 to class 4, planets we know about, you can see that there's more and more energy being dissipated, basically, you know, energy being used to do work on those 4. So we hypothesized that on a class 5 planet, there would be far more energy being used to do work on a planet like that.
Well, then don't you bump up against the second law of thermodynamics? A lot of waste heat will be generated, and eventually your planet will be incinerated. So what are your thoughts about waste heat? How do you get rid of all that heat from your engines?
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is the way the biosphere acts. That's why it has to be a collaborative relationship with the biosphere. That's, I think, what Kardashev missed. Because, you know, the biosphere is very inventive about getting around heat engines, getting around the second law of thermodynamics, minimizing things. Like photosynthesis was the most brilliant example of being able to find a way to reduce your entropy. So in that case, it was by directly tapping energy from sunlight. So by developing a cooperative relationship with the biosphere, you can channel that energy in ways that minimizes the thermodynamic impact. That's our idea, that it would be you and the biosphere working to ways to innovate, for evolutionary innovation, to be able to handle that question.
Well, actually, of all people, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, has actually come up with a way to get around this problem. He advocates that we put all our heavy machinery in outer space and make Earth into a garden. So Earth would be a celestial park with all the heavy industry in outer space, in which case all the heat generation, all because of all the factories, would be done in outer space, leaving the Earth to become this garden. What are your thoughts? Because after all, he's already created a spaceport in Texas, and he has a fleet of rockets to back it up, the richest man on Earth.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, it's very, you know, sort of long-term. I mean, but maybe long-term, maybe only in the case of centuries, but I agree with that. I mean, I think that humanity's future is the solar system, right? That the stars may be very far away. They may be fruit that's hard to get, but the solar system, as watchers of The Expanse, hopefully everybody watches the show The Expanse, know, is that the solar system is really where the next couple of, I think the next few centuries of human history is going to be played out. And yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
We should try and do exactly that.
Okay, Adam, unfortunately we have run out of time, but thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
And once again, the book is called The Light of the Stars, Alien Worlds and the Fate of the Earth by Professor Adam Frank, Professor of Astrophysics at University of Rochester. And he's also a commentator for National Public Radio. And he was a science consultant for the Marvel Studios movie, Doctor Strange. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Join us every week on Science Fantastic as we explore the cutting edge of science. And remember, if you want to get on national radio, give us a call at 612-564-8.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.